Okay, I think we're online here. Might as well start the talk. Hello, I'm Brian Cox. I head up the San Diego and LA user groups. And we were really lucky enough that Javier, who's really been working with these think scripts from TOS, has volunteered to do this talk. We did last week, we had Tom, or 2 weeks ago, we had Tom Preston in. And so for this session and three more sessions, Javier will start giving us a tutorial of what these think scripts are. So I might as well just turn it over to you.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Again, as Brian mentioned, my name is Javier. I'll be presenting think script talk style. This class is geared, this is the first course in the training. It's going to be a very basic course. So for some, it'll be a bit basic. For others, if you feel it's a bit much, it's okay. I've done this for some time, so it's hard to gauge what's exactly basic or what higher level. So if you have any questions, I like this to be very interactive. So if you have any questions, feel free to interrupt, or I can't see your chat, so maybe you could throw a hands up. Brian could interject and stop me, and then you can go ahead and ask your question, okay? So this is not, don't hold your questions. Go ahead and ask questions if you have any. So let me give you a little background about myself. There's not much really. I'm not really telling you, except that I'm also a PhD student, an eventful student like most of you guys are. I'm a software developer by trade. I've done this for over 12 years now. And so this is pretty much, second nature to me. So, I'm always passionate about, this is another passion that I have. As much as I love trading, I like writing software. And so to me, trading is the best of both worlds, right? You get to trade and then you get the automated system to trade. So you're making money and writing code. So, that's pretty much it. So why write scripts? Why write scripts? And part of the reason why I think scripts are so powerful is because they allow you to take a hard fact. If you do trading right and you take it seriously, more than likely you guys are going to have a set of rules already defined. And as long as they're based on the invested cloud or some other chart indicator, that data is readily available. You could actually write a script and actually take this trading system of yours and automate it so that you no longer have to interpret the data. I can't tell you how many times I personally have done this, and as well as I've heard other traders do that, saying, yeah, this fits most of my rules, but I kind of felt that this was the right time to enter because of all these other, indicators like the star aligning or whatnot. You had this gut feeling. And then ended up being a bad trade, and that's just because sometimes our inner desires of hope and greed, and sometimes fear, get in the way of our interpretation. And so then we kind of add additional value for analysis, and we actually end up hurting ourselves. So the nice thing about automating the script is that you no longer have to take that into account. You have your system already defined, and your entry and exit habits are defined, and now you can just sit back and actually look at the chart and take that emotion out. So there is that advantage. So the next question is, okay. Final up.
Okay, so
I hear somebody way in the far back. Are you guys asking a question, or is that just a noise?
Yeah.
Okay. I can't hear you, so I'll assume that was just background noise. Okay. So then, going on, what can we do with scripts? Well, right now, The scripts in particular that POS provides us is we're allowed to make, custom studies and strategies. We're allowed, they give us the ability to existing trading strategies. You can actually modify and enhance their trading strategies. So if you actually look on their website, they provide the source code to most of their strategies and their studies. And you could take their existing systems and most cases and tweak it to your desire, your needs. And if for those that attended last session training, you might have seen how Tom used a particular an existing strategy and they used that to normalize to actually give you the actual values as opposed to some normalized value. And so those are some of the powers or some of the features you can do. And then you could also create custom strategies as well. One of the things I put as a little start is Hoff does not currently support a fully automated system. They provide a mechanism to tell you when to get in and when to get out, and even when to short and when to get out of the short position. But they do not automate the system itself. They don't give warnings as well. So unless you're looking at the chart yourself, you're not going to be able to it won't pull the trigger for you pretty much. So you'll have to actually do this yourself. But personally, I kind of like that. This way, at least you take the emotion out of making the decision. Now you just have to actually push the button and go. If you recall, though, the last meeting, you did mention how they're planning on fully automating it. So that bullet might not be true in the future. But as of today, it is true. Okay, so we're all excited, right? All right, let's get started. Not so fast. There's a few things that you need to know before we get started. And basically, this is kind of the mechanics of how to program. And so here's where we start getting a little bit into the dry area of the presentation. Just bear with me and ask any questions as we get started, as we go on. So first of all, there's rules to programming, okay? There's what we call the syntax, then there's existing functions, and then there's the API. The syntax pretty much is by far most of what you do in and out of the program. It's like 80% of the text that you write. And here's examples that there's variables, there's arrays, there's expressions, logic conditions, and one thing that's typical of programming languages is they also have for loops, but Thinkorswim doesn't provide that for us. So I left that out here, okay? There's also built-in functions, and then there's also APIs, and we'll get more in detail in that in the following class. We'll actually start using some of these methods and some of these APIs to actually create our own custom scripts. So now we're not going to cover too much. We're going to focus on the syntax, because that's the hardest part, and that's the most powerful part as well. So far, do you have any questions? Here we go on. Syntax. What kind of fact is syntax, you might be asking? It's not really a fact, right? It's more like a set of rules in which programmers must write to program in. To me, I kind of think of syntax when I write software as kind of like playing a game, where the syntax are the rule of the game. You have constraints and you have a certain procedure and the process in which you play the game, and as long as you stay within that constraint, you're pretty much free to do anything in the game. And that's kind of putting a little star down here. No, there's no cheating in programming. But there is room for creative interpretation. And, I say that jokingly, but to me, I think that's really what makes the difference between an average developer and an exceptional developer, is the ability to use that creativity to actually write software. Because if you really think about it, you have a finite language that allows you to do only a limited set of instructions. Yet with the human mind and your own creativity, when you apply yourself, you're going to find out you can do a lot more than what the designer of that language thought was capable of doing. And so that's kind of the fun part of programming, in my opinion, is just taking something that's the basic syntax and then just taking it to the next level. Right, so in this particular case, I wanted to show you guys how the syntax and what you would see when you actually write the software yourself. So in this particular case, I highlighted with the keywords. There's more keywords in this particular example. I just only highlighted a few so that it doesn't look so busy. An example is declare, input. There's also def. And I don't know if you guys could see, but the keywords are highlighted in white. They're actually kind of extra bold to them. And that's kind of how you can tell what a keyword is in the editor. The APIs, they don't stand out in particular, but what you'll see is that they have parentheses before them. So when you actually call standard deviation, there's a parentheses right here that I have kind of in over the circle, and then there's the ending parentheses. So you pass in the parameters here, the price and the length, and then it does the standard deviation off of that. What I also have pointed here is arrays. I don't know if you guys remember from last week when Tom mentioned that your system doesn't have arrays. They don't provide us as software developers or as scripters access to arrays. They have, however, a canned set of arrays that they use themselves or that they provide to us, and it's based off of the price of the stock. So it's based on the close, the open, the high, and the low. So here we actually have three of the four arrays that they give us. And you can use that. If you don't pass in parameters, it acts like one value. And if you use the array style notation, this down here, then it starts acting like an array. And so that's about it as far as arrays. That's all they give us. And you could take arrays here. If you see, this looks like an array. But if you notice, it's nothing more than assigning this array to this value here. So that's why it becomes an array. And we'll get more into that in the next class as to how to manipulate these arrays. To do anything sophisticated, you're going to have to learn how to manipulate arrays in this particular, in their programming tool. Okay. So, with that said, we kind of have an idea now of what syntax is, right? It's the rules. It's the way in which we tell a program to do something. So here we have a little exercise. And what I like this to do is that I want everybody to participate. So I'm going to open up the chat window to kind of close some of my screen here. And I want everybody to participate. Just to see who has access. Can you guys just say hello in the chat screen for me? And I'll get into the details of All right, good. All right, so here we're going to write a little program, and it's feed the bunny, okay? And so in the next screen, it'll be apparent what we have to do, hopefully. And so here it is right here. Now, if you recall, we have what we call syntax, which is the programming language, and then we have commands. So what we have is, for this API, we have move, right? Let me go back one more time just to reiterate what this API is. So we have the API, which is moving, it's what we do to actually make the bunny move. And then we have the keyword to tell the bunny to either go left or go right, okay? And so let me go back on screen, and I'll show you what it works. Here, this is the API right here, if you notice. And here are the keywords, long entry or declare, okay? So we're going to pass in whether we want the bunny to move right or left, okay? And so here's the exercise right now. That's this little bunny. And we want him to find the carrot. When he finds the carrot, he gets to eat, okay? So All right, Brian. You should have put you in the other corner. All right, so here we go. So what I'd like you guys to do is we have this syntax. We have move, so we're going to put something like this, move up. If you want the bunny to move up, you can also tell the bunny to move right, Michael, okay? So I like if somebody could jump forward or step forward and actually type in the screen, in the chat screen, a command to actually tell the bunny to give him a direction so he could actually get closer to that carrot. Okay? All right, so we got one move up. Okay, we got another move up. So far we got the bunny sitting right here, okay? So all right, there you go. So now we got him moving up here. Now we got him moving up here and to the right. So he's about right here. Okay. All right, so we got him moving up right one more time. And up one more time. There you go. Okay, the last command for him to actually eat is to type the command eat. All right, there you go. So he eats. And that's kind of the basic style of what programming is. Let me show you the answer that I came up with. And this is kind of what I did. I took the quickest approach, which is just to tell him to move up and then move to the right. And so here he goes, he moves up three times, and then he moves over to the right twice, and then he leaves. And that's really what programming is. Essentially, you have a desired objective, and you have a syntax, and you use the right syntax to actually do your program. That's pretty much it. Okay, so that's pretty much it for the presentation. What I'd like to do now is actually bring you guys up on SinkOrSwim and talk a little bit about the syntax itself. Before we go on, does everybody kind of have a good, have a kind of a basic understanding of what a variable is and what an array is? Type chat if you guys have it on mute. So here we have, so I see that this kind of says kind of, so we'll actually get into a little more detail today. Here's an example of a script that I wrote. The bottom part right here is an oscillator. And you have what's called, this is a strategy in which you get in based on the moving average. So the way it works is, it's based off of a 30-day moving average. When you move from below the moving average, to above the moving average, that's a trigger to get in. Okay, so that's a very basic trading strategy. So if you come into the strategy, you look at the syntax to get in. Here we have the syntax, and if you notice, it's not a lot of syntax. There's not a lot written there. It's pretty straightforward. You have what you call your keywords right here, and I'll hide them. These are all keywords. Okay? And now go through this line by line right now. When you write a strategy to get in, as a strategy for a long position, you have to declare that because there's the other side of the what do you call it? There's a strategy to actually get in and get out. And you have to actually declare that when you write these strategies yourself. So when you first start, the very first line that you write for a strategy is declare, and you tell it whether it's going to be a long entry or a long exit. And if it was a long entry, that's the trigger to get in. And if you see, let's go this out of the way. And so, if you look over here, we call it a moving average. And if you notice at the top right here, we have what's called a moving average, and we have LE and LX. The LE, you don't have to write LE. It just helps when you're writing the program yourself that you know what it is, so that you'll know one of them is a long entry, and you'll know that the other one is a long exit. Okay. And when you actually declare this long entry and you get a sell signal, you're going to get this trigger down here. I don't know if you guys can see where I'm hovering my mouth. That's actually an up arrow where you get into it. If you notice, your moving average long exit, what they show here when the exit condition is met. And so that's why you have to declare this at the very beginning. And so This is in this particular case, this is classified as pure syntax. The next line here, however, is a combination of functions, variables, and syntax and keywords. Right? If you remember that chart that I just or that the screen that I showed, in this particular case, for every time you declare a variable, you type in the word death. And that stands, it's abbreviated for define. So in this particular case, if you want to create a variable that you want to manipulate, and then this is how you create it. Now, a variable is kind of like a scratch pad or kind of like a plaything. It's memory that you allocate that you could change the content to whenever you want. Okay? And so in this particular case, what we're going to be doing is we're going to actually be putting the moving average as it changes into this MA, and then we're going to look and evaluate it for throughout the chart. Okay, so that's why that variable is changing up, and that's why we need a variable. In this particular case, what we're doing here is we're calling this a keyword called reference. And what we're doing is there's actually a study that they have called Simple Moving Average. And let me show you where we get that from. You go into study and go enter edit strategies. It's right here. You see what says simple moving average? So what happens is anything that is one of Sink or Swim's studies, you could actually call by using the keyword reference. So if you wanted to use a shooting star, you could call reference shooting star. Unfortunately, you can't call your own stuff. So if you write your own studies, you won't be able to use the reference command for it, but you can for anything that they have there. That's kind of a mechanism that you would use to grab their existing studies, get the data, and then manipulate the data based on your needs or your particular style of studies, okay? So let's go back to that, to the sample. Now I know that part is kind of complicated. Can I get a response to in the group, just in the chat? Let me know if you guys understood what I just said right now. I know it's a bit more dense than I wanted to present, but since I shared the syntax, I wanted to explain what I was doing. So in this particular case, then, we're calling their study, and we're passing in the moving average price. So in this particular case, it's a moving average of 30 days, so we pass in the value of 30. What we're doing here is we're passing in 30, assigning that to another variable called length, and then we're passing that into the moving average. At this particular point, the moving average gets called, it gets calculated, and it gets passed to this variable called MA. The next line right here is yet another API, and that's called add to order. And essentially what that does is that's going to be the point in which you evaluate your condition. If your condition is met, meaning that in this particular case the moving average is higher than the close and is higher than and the previous close is higher than the previous, and the previous close is higher than today's close, then you would actually get into to the position. So in this particular case, we hit the trigger right here. If you see, our moving average is greater than the close of the previous day, and it's greater than the moving average of the 30 days. So at this particular point, we get in right here, and so the add order then this equation evaluates the true at this particular point. And so that's why you get this trigger. And, that's pretty much all that I have for the basic class. The next class, we're actually going to get into more of how to actually write your own studies and combine it with your strategies. I don't want to miss it right now, just because that'll actually get more involved. So I'll open up now for any questions as far as anything I presented, or if you have any additional questions. But as far as the basic class, I'm at the end of the course. So the question is, are personally written strategies and studies shareable? The only way you can share them is by providing the source code via either through email or actually just, through text files. A way where you could actually do that is through cut and pasting. But there's no way where you could actually put your studies on the SQLSwim platform and share that. Which furthermore, this data doesn't get stored on the server. So if you have two separate computers and you write the studies on one computer, it doesn't get transferred to a second computer. You have to do that manually. And the way you would do that is when you open up this editor, you pretty much just highlight everything. And you say cut and paste. And then that's how you get it. So then you'd open up another editor. Like Word. And send it out that way. Alright, so the second question, is there a study that watches volatility? There is access to volatility. I believe that the last class that we had, Tom actually showed where you have to actually look at it by volatility versus historical volatility. So you can actually write your own script using volatility. If that's something you guys are interested in, I could write a script myself on the next class and actually show how that could be done. So I saw Brian's response on the forums on excesspropits.org. That's one place to do it. There's actually a Yahoo news group, and I think all of us have access to that. They actually have file space there. Might be a better place to put all of that content and questions and information in that particular user's group, just because that's a user group that's completely focused on doing thinking. Okay, so the next question is, what about watching volume? If they have a study, if you could see it in their study, it's going to be there. So let's go back to their studies. And if you see a volume indicator right here, there you go, volume average, volume accumulation, volume flow indicator. Anything that you see in this particular study, you have access to. You have access to it through the command called reference, and you call it. It calculates all of that data for you, and then you have the ability to manipulate it. You do it through this mechanism right here. Okay, so the question is, can I show you how to execute a study? Yes. Now, are you asking how to call a study from within your own study, or how to actually just put a study onto the charting platform? I suppose I can answer both. If you wanted, okay. Let's look at the volume average. It's pretty straightforward to actually show the studies on the chart. Essentially, if you come over here and you say remove study, all you have to do is double click on it and it shows up right here. If you see it, it actually shows up on the volume average right on this particular ad study. If you hit the apply button, let me move my dialog box up. If you hit that apply button, it actually shows up down here at the bottom. And this is your volume average right here. So that's pretty much all there is to actually show a study. You could always come over here again, you click on study menu, and you click on edit study. It brings up this dialog box, and then you add any of these studies here to your chart. All right, so we have a question here where somebody wants us to show how to actually call volume. The way you call volume is create your own settings here. And by the way, one excellent way to actually view this, or if you have any questions on the syntax, now the reason I didn't go over the syntax and what they are is the documentation is really limited in what SQL provides. The best way that I found out on actually how to program using the scripting platform is to actually look at the source code. The manual is important, and the manual does help out with some things. Tells you kind of the syntax and the structure, but it doesn't tell you all of the commands that they have. If you click on Think Script Manual down here, it actually takes you to the website. Tom covered it last week. I guess I could cover it again. This is pretty much their manual, and that's it. I've seen some errors in the manual, so if it doesn't work, double check your work. If it doesn't work again, then you might want to send out an email to the group or try something different or look through their source code samples because they've changed the syntax slightly and they have not updated the documentation. And I've been asked to actually call volume. So let me see, we'll do the exercise. I'm actually creating the script and calling the moving average. Okay? So first thing we have to do is, first off, what I like to do is I like to copy the top part of some existing scripts. Come over here and create your own new study. And what you see here, the very top part, is nothing more than a comment. I strongly recommend that anytime you write a script, comment your code. Just because if you don't, one day you write something, but tomorrow, the chances are you might forget exactly what you wrote. Or if you must go by and you want to make a modification to your trading strategy, you might go back and forget exactly what you were doing. So it's a good habit to actually comment your code, which is why a lot of programming languages support code commenting. So here, in this particular case, we'll comment my code. Now what this command does right here called declare lower, what that does is that puts the studies at the bottom, not on the actual chart itself. If you do not declare lower, it'll put all of your studies on the actual chart itself. Okay. In this particular case, what I did here is that I created a variable called myVolume. And then I used a command called reference. And I called the studies called volume average. And if you see right above it, I'm already plotting it, but I'm showing how you could use their system and then go ahead and you could call their system and modify it some more based on your needs, right? In this particular case, here we're plotting a 50 moving average. What we're doing here is we're going to plot the average of the 20 days. Now, one of the things that you'll notice is if you type something incorrectly, at the very bottom, it'll tell you what the error is and what the reason is. Also, I like to change the feature. It must be a new feature. In the past, you couldn't save your study. You would only be able to hit the save button once you completely had all of the save tags correct. I always thought that was a bad feature. I'm glad they removed that. Just because sometimes you want to save. You know, you have to take a break or you have to leave somewhere. You want to save all of your work and not lose it. So I come down here, name my study, and fix my error. The error message goes away and the red highlight goes away. At this particular point, I hit save. And my study shows up down here. You guys see it down at the bottom? And this is my log test that showed up down here. Okay, any other questions? Okay, so just a little highlight of what we're going to cover next week, or the next presentation. The next presentation, we're going to cover a lot more details. How to actually pass in input parameters, how to call in different methods, different studies that already exist. And also how to actually integrate your study and your strategies together. That's it. I'll see you guys next week. Or not next week, but on the next class. Oh, okay. So Ken and Brian asked me to remind you. I'm with the Southern California group. I also look at the email. So if you guys have any questions, just go ahead and send it out. I'll be more than happy to respond. Just send it out to the San Diego Industrial user group.
Javier, thanks a lot. This is a great presentation. I especially like the bunny.
I'm glad you like it.
Okay, so the next presentation will be in 2 weeks from now.
Right.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you very much, and thank you everyone for attending.
Thank you, Brian, for your help.
Okay.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi, everyone. I'll see you soon.